Utah Jazz fall tonight to the Phoenix Suns. A little bit of a surprise night. I don't think we saw this one coming. 97-88. The Jazz lose this one, and this one comes down to everything to do with the offense. The defense was actually really good, so I will quickly refute the idea that the Jazz effort was lacking. I thought Alex Jensen really said it well at the half. Our effort's good. Our mental focus is not very good.
Well, and maybe that's the way they start the ball game off, two nights in a row. If though they're not mentally ready, I mean, you know they were prepared. We were at shoot around. We know exactly what they're going through and how they were prepared for, you know, for each team. But getting outscored in that first quarter, 23-13, you find yourself that climbing a slippery wall. I mean, to the point where you're not a very good offensive team, or have the reputation of not being a very good offensive team. And you, right from the start, you have to try to climb that mountain.
Well, let's talk about the turnovers, because I'm pretty certain that the Jazz are last in the league in taking care of the ball at this point. At one point tonight, while the game was still somewhat in doubt, the Jazz were allowing 25. The Jazz were committing turnovers on 25% of their possessions. So every four times down the floor, they were turning the ball over and not getting a shot attempt. Like, that is just an incredible number.
Well, you know, shots, possessions are very, very important. Coaches talk about turnovers and they talk about rebounds. And right now the Jazz turning the basketball over way too much. They got out-rebounded tonight, 55-44. So it's something to that. I mean, if coaches think that that's so important, the Jazz are not getting it done right now. How do they correct things like this? And the coaching staff, I'm sure, will get together. They'll look. They see what we see, and try to make sure that they start playing better basketball.
A lot of questions coming in right away about why Alec Burks didn't go tonight.
I thought it was interesting. I'm not really sure. I'm sure we'll get an explanation, but maybe Quinn saw something last night that he didn't want to see again tonight. You know, you just never know.
I mean, I think AB last night had three or four turnovers in 13 minutes.
Yeah, well, you see what happened tonight, right, with a lot of other guys there as well. So, you know, he's got some decisions to make. Alec Burks, I think, could be one of those guys that could come off the bench with and give you some valuable minutes. He can score. We'll just have to wait and see. Maybe Quinn wanted to change the rotation tonight, and we might see a different rotation on Friday against the Los Angeles Lakers.
One of the other people just mentioned they're flying through pretty quickly. We'll try to get to as many as we can about the points in the paint tonight. From a defensive standpoint, that was surprising. Phoenix had 46 points in the paint, and then they also dominated the Jazz on the offensive glass. Alex Len was a huge factor on the offensive glass. What's actually amazing about that is that even with that, the Jazz defense still had a really good night.
Yeah, 16 offensive rebounds for the Suns. Now, they're just as big as the Jazz. I mean, you're looking at Alex Lynch and you look at Chandler. Both of those guys are seven-footers. They play just as big as the Jazz around the rim. And like I said during the course of the ballgame, I think Chandler and maybe Alex Lynch both are quicker jumpers, I think, than Rudy. And I thought that really helped them tonight.
All right, let's try to dig in offensively. This is not a team that's laden with big-time scorers. It is a team laden with some balance. And what do you think Quinn tries to find for solutions offensively?
Well, first of all, he's going to work very, very hard at taking care of the basketball. I'm sure that every coach will get with their prospective player that they're assigned to, and they're going to talk about situations out there on the floor. Collectively, Quinn's going to talk about turnovers. Those are possessions missed. The Jazz ended up taking 77 attempts tonight at the rim. That's 20 less than the Phoenix Suns because of turnovers. And that's, you can't win basketball games like that.
Somebody just said that Rudy looks terrible. Really, because he had 16 points, 14 rebounds, one assist, and five blocks. So maybe Stephen Halls might need to not expect Rudy to be Wilt Chamberlain every night. Sometimes we can get a little overly excited about losses like this.
Oh, Rudy, he played good. But, you know, he was playing with some other seven-footers out there on the floor. And you know, maybe, I don't know. I don't even know how to put this.
Yeah, just leave that one on. Yeah. The bench tonight did not play well. The bench was did not shoot well. They ended up going 3 of 18 from the field. And
Nine points at one time.
That's probably still right.
Yeah, still 9, yes.
The signature that has really kind of has been these Epe Udo runs, and there was just no second unit run. I said on the broadcast that I expected that to happen at some point in time. It just didn't.
Okay, just think about that second unit. Alec Burks was at that second unit. And two or three of the five ball games that the Jazz have played, he's scored. I mean, he's had 15, 14, somewhere in there. Tonight he didn't get off the bench, and they were 3 for 18. You know, and how many turnovers there? Ended up with about 8 turnovers. So it's, again, Quinn, they're smart coaches. They're going to look at this and maybe the rotation changed. Maybe they slow down trying to develop Donovan Mitchell's a little bit. He played about 13 minutes tonight, 1 for 7. He had 3 turnovers, and, you know, maybe they slow him down.
And more importantly, he's got to calm it down. He's taking 7 shots in 13 minutes and turning it over 3 times. So that, I mean, he's really derailing what's going on. What's interesting is he's playing, as I joked on the broadcast, if you think about it, it was a pendulum. And the middle pendulum is just being pretty good at both. He's like Logan to St. George on how he's playing offense versus defense.
Yeah, and again, I mean, sometimes you get overwhelmed. You know, you can get overwhelmed with the level of play in this league. You know you're good enough, and you think you need to play faster than what you're really playing. That's what I see. I think he's just going just a little too fast, and plus his. He's just got to get a grip on that outside shot.
Somebody wanted to know why Favors and Gobert were playing Favors and Gobert together. They didn't work together last year. Why would they work together this year? That's actually not true. They did work together last year. The defensive rating was a remarkable 96.5. The offense wasn't quite as good as some other lineups, but the differential was very, very good. So that's actually not true that it didn't work a year ago.
Let me add to that, because with the big guys, the two big guys, Lynn and Chandler, that they have, both of those guys don't play far away from the basket either. They play pretty close to the basket there as well. And so I think it's Quinn did a pretty good job of keeping, you know, when those two were on the floor together, Quinn did a pretty good job of keeping Derek and Rudy to defend those guys.
Zachary Fowler has a really interesting question. He says, I thought we would see more lobs from Rudy to Rudy and Favors from Rubio. Are they still developing chemistry? It might be as simple as if we're going to shoot 6 of 25 from 3, teams are bringing a third guy in to take care of the lob and forcing it. Until we start making those shots, you're just not going to get those lobs.
And again, and that's a very good question on why you don't get certain things against one team and you get it against another. Defensive, the game plan sometimes change. And so if they're taking away that lob and very concerned with that lob, they know Rudy's is a very efficient player around the basket. We're going to take that away and we're going to give up 3s. And if the Jazz aren't knocking those 3s down, they're definitely not going to change their defense and let Rudy go off.
And there is an element here of when you're trying to get some of these things going, we don't have a lot of floor spacing right now. Rubio's not a good 3-point shooter. Favors and Gobert aren't stretching you out. Ingles is a great shooter, sometimes too reluctant. And then you've got Rodney. So you don't have a great amount of floor spacing to create those open lobs to the basket like you can if you can space the floor. It's where Joe Johnson nights are pretty important. Joe wasn't great tonight, 1 of 7 on a back end of a back-to-back.
Yeah. So, what's the caller's name? What was his name?
I don't remember.
Well,
he was a good one, though.
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's all about the defensive assignments and your prep work on what you want to give up and what you don't want to give up. And obviously they did not want to give up, you know, that lob.
Final question coming in from Heather Williams. Who's going to make 3s on a consistent basis on this roster?
Is that $64,000 question?
I don't know.
We really don't know. Rodney Hood might be the one that I would think would be there. I think last year he was, what, last year, Rodney?
And I do think that we're
37% last year. He had a pretty good year shooting the three.
And I'm not going to make a big deal out of this in any way. And let's let the next week play out. I mean, just on a minor level, and I don't want to make this a big deal because it sounds like an excuse, but home, road, haven't been in any city for longer than 2 days yet. It's not like a brutal start or anything like that, but this is about as tiring a stretch as we actually have in the whole season.
What did you say?
Four games and six nights in four different cities.
Yeah,
so it's actually about as, so maybe on some of the shooting, there's a lot of guys that are below where they regularly are shooting, and maybe we're going to see, what's going to happen. Let me touch on one thing before we go. On Alec Burks not playing tonight, Quinn has been very, very specific with Alec Burks on what he wants out of him as a player. He knows exactly what he needs and wants out of Alec as a player. He didn't get that last night. Sometimes you might be willing to not make a move in a singular game for the well-being of an 82-game season. And that might have been, I don't know, but that might have been what was taking place tonight. That if you're going to play like you did last night, then this is the end result, is you don't play. Now, Quinn is a master at coming back to players and saying, I still believe in you, let's go do it, but we're going to have to do it this way. Because the way he played last night in L.A. is not the way Quinn wants him to play.
And then he was finding out, as you have mentioned many, many times, about Joe Johnson's back-to-back ball games.
41% last year.
He's trying to find out if that's still the case this year, maybe.
Right. You know. And so maybe you'll see Jarebko more often in some of the back-to-backs. Thanks, guys. Great questions. We really enjoy the interaction. Thank you very much. Ron nodded. You just can't see him. By the way, on this day in history, in 1979, Ron Boone was traded to the Utah Jazz. What a great day this is. Without that day, I don't get to hang out with him. I think he's pretty cool. See ya.